Before we begin this podcast, I'd like to tell you about a special deal. Subscribe today to The Spectator for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, along with, here's the magic bit, a free £20 John Lewis or Waitrose voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Table Talk, The Spectator's food and drink podcast. I'm Laura Prendergast.
And I'm Olivia Potts.
And today we're delighted to be joined by Theo Randall. Theo is an English chef who specialises in Italian cuisine. He is the proprietor of Theo Randall at the Intercontinental Hotel on Park Lane. And he is perhaps best known for being awarded a Michelin star at the River Cafe in London. His new book, Verdura, is out now. Theo, welcome to Table Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Theo, we're going to start where we always do, at the beginning, and ask you, what are your earliest memories of food?
So my earliest memories of food, my mother was an artist, and I grew up in a very kind of artistic family. My father's an architect, and so we had this sort of quite an interesting upbringing. My parents were obsessed by food, and my mother, being Scottish, was a very frugal cook. So she really taught me a lot about cooking from an early age. But my kind of earliest memories with her baking, and she would bake three times a week, and she'd make bread and she'd make cakes. And it was kind of a bit odd, because if we were at home on a holiday or something, she'd be painting and then she'd stop what she was doing and then she'd sort of make us lunch or dinner or whatever. So it was always involving her doing her kind of work. But my earliest memories are probably baking bread and actually helping her make the bread and moulding the bread into the bread tins and having that first slice of warm bread with lots of butter on top. That was probably my first earliest memory. Cakes were always great. We used to have a coming home from school cake, which we'd make on a Sunday, and it probably last until Tuesday. But it was very much baking was probably my first experience of food.
And what about mealtimes? What were they like?
Mealtimes are always very interesting. You know, my mother would always, some days it'd be, you know, it might be liver or something, or there might be a roast dinner on a Sunday. But it was always kind of, again, very frugal. She'd always use the bones, make a stock, make a soup on a Monday. On a Tuesday, there might be a pasta dish. So we always sat together and had dinner. And she used to teach art as well. So some nights of the week, she'd be actually doing sort of night classes teaching art. And so that's kind of, it was always important that we always had dinner together. She might not get home till about 8 o'clock, and it was a school night. But I would sort of kind of help in the kitchen and make sure everything was sort of ready for when she came home. So I kind of, that's sort of why, I guess, cooking sort of became such a passion of mine.
And what about school food? Are there happy memories there?
You know what? Everyone talks about school food being really terrible. I remember my first sort of like nursery school, kind of, they're bringing really great food. And then it got worse as I got older. But I do remember having to take sandwiches to school because they got the school food got so bad. And I remember I was the kind of only kid in the school that would have like homemade bread with gorgonzola in the middle. And I think everyone thought I was a bit mad, you know. and I felt sort of really, really sort of a bit odd. So I'd go and buy a pack of crisps on the way to school so I didn't feel too left out. My mother would never buy anything like that. She didn't like anything that was sort of packaged. She always called it plastic food. So we always had homemade food, and we'd have like windfall apples from the garden or a bunch of grapes from the greenhouse. Yeah, it all sounds perfect, but it was kind of a bit embarrassing, really.
And Theo, I read that a lot of your passion for food came from family holidays in Europe. Where were you going and what were you eating at that point?
Well, as I said, my parents were very into art, and we'd go on these sort of bizarre trips all over. So go and see, visit Corbusier houses and go into these wonderful galleries, which I found intensely boring as a child, but in later life, you know, appreciated it. And my thing was always sort of keep me happy was sort of I would find the restaurant and we would choose a restaurant, or I was always thinking about food. I was always hungry as a child. And so I think that sort of inspired me. And I remember going on a trip to Venice. I remember this very clearly, and having the first time, and I was the most unfussy child as well. I'd always think order on things on the menu that sounded unusual, which my parents used to find a bit frustrating. But I remember ordering spaghetti alla vongole in this little restaurant. It wasn't a particularly special restaurant, but I remember having this pasta dish with the clams, and the waiter telling me that I can eat with my hands, I can eat the clams, the shells in my hands. And I never forget that. And it was one of those sort of moments where you just think, my God, this is such interesting food. And from that point on, I've always just loved shellfish, I think. So, you know, that was a great experience.
When did you decide that you wanted to cook professionally? How did that path come about?
It's funny, a friend of mine was working in a restaurant. It was called Stars Bistro, and it was in East Molesey. I grew up in Hampton Court, and he was washing dishes, and he said, you know, they needed someone next Thursday. Can you help? And I went there, and I was in this kitchen, and I was washing dishes, and it was a mess. I mean, there was like plates everywhere, but the excitement of being in a kitchen with chefs arguing with the waiters and flames coming off the grill and the stress from this very busy restaurant, I just absolutely loved it. I just thought, this is for me. And the chef took a shining to me and would start making me things to taste. And I was sort of started working there every Thursday, you know, earning extra pocket money. I was about 15 at the time. And then there was about a year later, there was a sort of a Sunday shift going on at their other restaurant. They had a restaurant called L'Etoile, funny that. And, you know, I started as a second chef, and that was just really got me excited cooking. And I ended up sort of doing this sort of Sunday roast, much to my mum's amusement. And then I just thought, you know what, I'm gonna do this. And having grown up with parents, they knew I wasn't particularly great at school, and they didn't sort of think I got to go to university. So they said, you know, what about cooking? So I thought, I'm going to do this properly. So I did go to college, and then I, at the age of 18, I knocked on the door of a restaurant, a chef that we loved, a restaurant called Chez Max, a chef called Max McGarrion, who was a brilliant chef. He was the original chef at Leith's restaurant, Prue Leith's restaurant in Notting Hill, which is now Core by Claire Smith. But I knocked on his door and asked for the job as a commis chef, and he gave me the job. And it was the most amazing training, and that was, you know, I was there for 3.5 years. And it was, he taught me everything from, you know, from filleting fish and making sauces. It was French cuisine, but it was the kind of classic French cuisine. And I just sort of, it just grew from there. And then after 3.5 years, I wanted to move on. And so I went to see a chef called Alistair Little in Soho. And I remember this very clearly, going to see him, sitting in his restaurant in Thrift Street and asking him, you know, could I have a job? And he said, I don't have any jobs at the moment, but there's a restaurant that's just opened on the river. Well, it's just opened in the evenings. It's called the River Cafe. This is 1989. And I went, and about a week later, I phoned them up and said, can I come? And I went and did a trial shift at the River Cafe. And it was just amazing. I just met all these people I just could relate to. I mean, I was in a kitchen with just me and Max for 3.5 years. And even though it was amazing training, it was quite gruesome at times.
I mean, the River Cafe has now become such a household name and is so, you know, well-renowned in London. But what was it like in those early days working for it?
Wow. So the early days, I mean, I remember going there and just sort of doing a recce of the restaurant one night when it was closed on a Sunday. And I looked through the window and I could see a grill, a 4-burner stove and a deep fat fryer. And I thought, oh my God, is that the kitchen? I then went there the following week and was with Rose in the kitchen. And it was just magical. You know, all the kind of food prep went outside on the terrace, and there were waiters on the bar prepping, you know, vegetables, and the kind of the kitchen just sort of expanded out into the restaurant. It was such a magical thing. If you look at the River Cafe now, it was probably the first sort of three windows of the existing building in Thames Wharf. It's now, I think, sort of 12 windows. It just grew. It was one of those restaurants that grew with its popularity, not just in, you know, popularity, but also in size. And it was an amazing time. I mean, that was back in 1989, when restaurants didn't have open kitchens. The waiters walk around with T-shirts saying River Cafe with, you know, the menu on the back of their T-shirt, and the menus were handwritten, and it was written every day. And there were things like buffalo mozzarella that no one ever heard of. And there was sort of dishes that were just, it was proper cucina povero. And, you know, at that time in the late 80s, it was more about, you know, veal, scallop and pasta in Italian restaurants. And there wasn't real Italian food. And having been on holiday to Italy and having tasted Italian food, the real Italian food, I kind of, this sort of made a lot more sense.
And how formative then was the River Cafe's style of cooking on your own as you sort of went into creating your own cooking and menus?
Well, the thing about Italian food is it's learning. I mean, Italy's 20 different regions and it's 20 different countries, in the sense that it's just, they're so different and they're so passionate about their own region. So having left, since leaving the River Cafe, you know, I've really I learned a huge amount at the River Cafe, and I kind of got my own style because I was running the kitchens there. But it was always that River Cafe dish, and so you just like anything, you become better, you become more knowledgeable. Better ingredients are available, so you kind of work on the ingredients. And Italian food is all about the ingredient. It's about not overworking the ingredients, making the most of it. So it's the ingredients that really inspire you, inspire the dishes. And so I would just say that I've developed over the years just producing food that is using great qualities, using the Italian kitchen as my ideal. And, you know, I've done a lot of work with pasta, you know, learning how to make fresh pasta. To really learn about Italian food, you need to go to Italy and you need to taste Italy. You need to travel around Italy and discover the different regions. And, you know, I've written 5 books on it, so I've sort of become, I've done a lot of research, so I know quite a lot. But there's always something to learn. Every time I go there, there's always things you don't know, or there's some things that you think you're doing right and you go to Italy and they're like, no, you're doing this wrong. So it really is a love of my life, Italian food.
And do you have a favourite region of Italy?
Well, that's a very difficult question. I mean, as I said, we do this regional menu once a month in the restaurant, which is, you know, at the moment we're doing Liguria, next month we're doing Puglia. So it's always educational and there's always something very interesting. But do I have a favourite region? I always say it's sort of what time of year. I mean, Puglia is a summer holiday destination. We go with the family. It's a lovely, lovely place to go. And then I love Veneto. It's the most wonderful place to taste, you know, the proper risotto. Rome, we were just discussing earlier about trattorias in Rome. I mean, they are some of the finest restaurants you'll get. I mean, I'm the sort of person that won't go to a Michelin star restaurant in Italy. I'd much rather go to the local trattoria where you get the nonna cooking, you know, someone's really cooking the food from that area. So for me, Italian food is about the regionality and finding food that is local.
You have yourself received a Michelin star when you were at the River Cafe. What is it like to receive a Michelin star? Does it put a lot of pressure on you?
It does. I remember, you know, you'd have a bad night and think, oh my God, I hope the Michelin inspector wasn't in last night. And then when you got the star again, you were kind of relieved. But it's not the be-all and end-all. I mean, I think it's a great accolade to have. But, you know, I think when you're young, you're obsessed by it. But it doesn't necessarily mean everything. But, yeah, I remember going to get the Michelin star. In those days, you'd go to the main sponsor, which was the House of Mumm Champagne. And I remember this great big sort of ceremony. It was quite pompous and it was very grand. But it was lots of ways. It was a lovely, lovely experience.
While you're at the River Cafe, you were seconded to Chez Panisse in California. What was that like working alongside Alice Waters? How did it influence your cooking?
It was brilliant. I mean, it influenced me a lot. I remember coming back with all these kind of new ideas. That was in 1992. And Chez Panisse, I think it was 25 years old at that point. And so kind of the Chez Panisse was quite like the River Cafe and what the River Cafe is now. There's been a lot of people that have been there for a very long time and had a lot of history. But turning up at Chez Panisse was the most wonderful experience. It's a restaurant. I was down on the downstairs restaurant, which did a set menu every day. We'd do 6 days, and they would on a Sunday, they would put the menu outside the door and you could choose which day you wanted to go and it would give the menu. They say there's never been a same menu ever. Since day one, which is kind of almost true. I mean, I think, you know, there was so much creativity. It was all about the ingredients. I remember there'd be a delivery from this farm in, I think it was San Diego, called Chino Ranch, and they would bring the most incredible vegetables. I mean, everything was just covered in earth. I remember the sort of time of like having to prep all these kind of beets and wonderful vegetables and Swiss chard, and it was just like you picked it out of a garden. And that's what Chez Panisse was all about. It was all about promoting great produce. And Alice Waters, I used to work with Alice Waters 3 days a week, Paul Bertoli 2, and if it was a 6 day week, I would work with Jean-Pierre Mouy on a Saturday night. And to work with those kind of people is quite exceptional. And Alice Waters was just brilliant in the kitchen. She wasn't necessarily the person that would be sort of cooking, but she would get stuck in and she'd help you peel things and then sort of leave you and then come back again and talk to someone and come back. But it was just an amazing experience and great to work with so many people. Star food, by the way, was the best star food you would ever get anywhere. I mean, literally would get like, would taste all the wines that they were serving and then we'd have like 3 courses. And it was very hard to get up and get back into the kitchen after it. But it was a brilliant experience. As far as the food goes, yeah, it was just great produce. It wasn't at all fancy. It was just the flavors of the vegetables and the meats were really brilliant. And it was going back to sort of the old style of cooking. It was traditional cooking, which I love.
And tell us about your own restaurant at the Intercontinental. What's it like running a restaurant alongside one of these big well-known hotels?
It's great. I mean, I run my restaurant. We're a restaurant in a hotel, not a hotel restaurant. And when the site came up, was back in 2006. So we've been there quite a long time. And at first I think, wasn't quite sure. But then when I realized that, this was a great site, a great location, and there was a restaurant there called Le Soufflé, and I was taking over from the chef there called Peter Kronberg, who is an absolute legend. And so it was one of those opportunities, and I was still quite young, and I thought, you know what, this is a great opportunity. And within a year, we won Italian Restaurant of the Year on the Evening Standard. And yeah, since then, I've opened a restaurant in Hong Kong, a restaurant in Bangkok, and it's been a really wonderful experience. I mean, I've got my kitchen, I've got my team, and I love to cook. I know it sounds a bit ridiculous, but I really love to cook. I've come here from just doing lunch service. So really, for me, it is about cooking and having a team and working with a great team. And all those, my early influences from River Cafe and Chez Panisse and my experiences now is what I do on a daily basis. So it gives me a lot of opportunity to do things as well. So I write cookbooks, which is really a joy of mine. But yeah, I work pretty hard, actually. I think I'm going to finish here and I'm going to go back and we're going to do evening service. So it's going to, for me, the best
day. I'm glad
day,
we managed to find a time to
I would say the only time you write a cookbook is on your spare time. For me, the best day is a double in the kitchen, lunch and dinner. And it's, why can you do that all the time? But I say, well, I love it. And people come to the restaurant. They look and go, why are you in your kitchen? I mean, I'm really surprised you're here. And it's like, well, the restaurant's called Theo Randall, so the chances are I am going to be here.
With all of the restaurant cooking, do you have time or energy to cook at home? Do you enjoy cooking outside the restaurant, or are you very restaurant-led?
No, this sounds unbelievable, but I absolutely love cooking at home. And
That's so nice to hear.
I know, absolutely love it. And I think it's one of those most relaxing things of actually cooking at home. I adore, I mean, the kids have left home now. So, but you know what? I love cooking, and everyone comes over and I'll make a sort of big Sunday lunch, or we'll go out. But for me, cooking at home is one of the most relaxing things. It was, how can it be relaxing? You're kind of cooking all day, but cooking in a restaurant, doing a restaurant service, and cooking at home are two completely different things. So for me, cooking at home is lovely. And when the kids were little, I'd do things with them, like, we'd make ravioli or we'd make pasta. And cooking with children, and I had that as a child, my mother cooking for me. Admittedly, she wasn't a chef, but she was a good cook. But I remember that. I remember having that experience of making something and eating it yourself. I think it's really important. And children, their taste buds they develop when they're very little. So I think if you can teach children to eat what you eat, or to taste food that's not necessarily everyday children's food, so to speak, it's really important. From a very early age, I loved anchovies.
And tell us, Thea, about your new book. It's called Verdura. It's 10 of your favourite vegetables and the best way to cook them in an Italian style. Why did you settle on solely focusing on vegetables?
So I've written four other books. And the first book I wrote was a book called Pasta. So it was all about pasta. And then there was another one which was sort of a mixture of all the food that I'd been cooking over the years, called My Simple Italian, which was sort of the dishes that I loved to make. And then there was a book on Italian delicatessen, because I'm mad about Italian delis. I think we should support Italian delis, because they're less and less of them, sadly. And then The Italian Pantry, which was sort of second part of it. So it's the third book in a series of three. And it's all about, it's 10 vegetables and 10 recipes per vegetable. And I just thought it was a really good time to write a book on vegetables. It's vegetarian. There's no meat or fish in the book. There's a lot of cheese. But, it's about those vegetables, getting the most out of them. For instance, aubergine, cooking aubergines in different ways. And it's a very personal thing. I always talk about my family. I always talk about family experiences. I talk about holidays where we've gone to a restaurant. So each recipe, there's always a kind of little story with it. And it's been a great book to do. We photographed every single recipe, because I'm convinced that people don't cook from cookbooks unless there's a picture with it. Most cookbooks are about 60%. Yeah, I mean, it's true.
It's true. You tend to prioritize the ones that have a photo, or certainly I do.
Yeah, exactly. So I was adamant that we did 100 photographs of the 100 recipes. And so I'm very pleased with the outcome of it. And it was a joy to cook with. And I think people are eating a lot more. People are much more flexible. People aren't sort of, oh, I'm a vegetarian, I'm a vegan, I'm this. People are like, I'm quite happy to eat vegetables all week. And then if we go out for dinner on a Saturday night, I might have a nice piece of fish or something. Or, you know, you might have a cook at home and you buy a lovely piece of fish. I mean, the thing about food is, do things as well as you can. But if you want to have a special treat, then pay good money to buy the ingredients, because if you buy something and it's not great quality, it sort of puts you off slightly. So, you know, if you're going to buy some really great vegetables, you know, buy it from a really good source.
And Theo, what for you is comfort food?
So for me, comfort food has got to be pasta. I mean, you know, you can't have, for me, a plate of simple pasta, and this is what the children always crave for when they were little, still do, is some beautifully cooked pasta with some butter and some parmesan. I mean, really, you can't get better than that. But some black pepper. It's just one of those things. You've got really good parmesan cheese, you've got really good quality butter. Whether it's fresh tagliatelle or whether it's just penne, it is one of the most comforting things to eat. I mean, I could go on and on about comfort food because there's so many things that I find comforting. I mean, polenta is another one. I absolutely adore polenta. I think anything with parmesan cheese I find very comforting.
And what about puddings? Do you have a sweet tooth?
I don't really. I mean, it's kind of surprising because my mother made such great cakes, but I always love savoury and I do love chocolate. Oh my God, I adore chocolate. But I quite, I know it's sort of, everyone likes chocolate, but dark chocolate is just the most wonderful thing in the world. It's got so much flavour. I do like milk chocolate, don't get me wrong, but when you've got really flavoursome dark chocolate, sort of above 70%, it's like tasting a fine wine. It's got so many sort of elements to it, and it's just a great taste. And so that's, for me, as chocolate mousse is one of my favourite desserts. I do love a tiramisu, I have to say, even though it's sort of, you know, everyone has had a tiramisu, but there's a real secret and art in making a good tiramisu, and that is making sure you've got equal quantities of coffee and liquor, because if you don't have, there's not enough. If it's just a sort of dash of marsala, it just doesn't have the right kick. But yeah, anything with chocolate is definitely my treat. But you know, if there's a menu and I see cheese on the menu, probably likely to go for the cheese unless there's chocolate mousse on the menu.
And Theo, just to finish, we always like to ask what your desert island meal would be. What would be your ultimate meal?
I've been talking about this for years. my desert island dishes would be, I'd probably start off with a tagliarini. I'll start off with a langoustine. It'd have to be some just steamed or poached langoustine, Scottish langoustine, and just serve that with a lovely big gnarly old Amalfi lemon and some really good olive oil, and just crack the shells and eat the fresh langoustine with the drizzle oil, a bit of squeeze of the Amalfi lemon, a bit of salt. And then I'd move on to a lovely plate of tagliarini with butter and white truffle, shaved white truffle. I can't think of anything more delicious and more interesting than the flavour of white truffle. And then my main course would be a grouse, again Scottish. Maybe it's my Scottish heritage, but a roasted grouse cooked on a lovely piece of bread with some pan-fried porcini mushrooms. Then it would be a slice of, I told you I've been thinking about this, a slice of gorgonzola with a Cox's orange pippin apple. And then dessert would be a great big bowl of cherries.
Delicious.
And that, for me, would be my desert island dish.
Well, Theo, thank you for sharing that with us and for joining us on Table Talk. And just a reminder that Theo's new book, Verdura, is out now.